Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
We got no choice.
Playing that because it was on this day in 1972 that Alice Cooper was number one on the UK singles charts with that. And he was asked what inspired the song, what inspired him to write the song, and he said he was trying to think of what the greatest 3 minutes of your life were. And he said there's two times in the year that the greatest 3 minutes of your life occur. The first is Christmas morning. I would agree with that 100%. And the next one is the last 3 minutes of the last day of school, for those of you who can remember that far back. I can't. A bit cruel, it seems, playing in the week when they're actually all going back to school, but sure. Well, it was number one at that time of the year as well, so get used to it. Sorry with the difficulties with the line, I'm afraid, to Imelda, but I did want to point out she does have some dates coming up. I'd imagine she might have some American dates coming up as well in the future after that brilliant performance over the weekend. But she'll be in the University Concert Hall in Limerick City on October 24th and 25th, Knocknarea Arena in Sligo on October 27th, the INEC in Gleneagle on October 28th, and the Cork Opera House, what a brilliant place to see her. That's October the 29th, Leisureland in Galway on the 19th of December, and then Three Arena in Dublin, that's going to be the big one, on December the 22nd. That's kind of two oblique references to Christmas already during that little last link, really, isn't it? There's no real way around that. Right then, I'm delighted to say we're joined in the studio as always by Declan Buckley for So You Think I'm an Adult. Declan, good afternoon.
Hello,
good to see you again.
You too.
And also for the first time, Aina Neil-Arona. Aina, how are you?
I'm wonderful. And yourself?
Very well indeed. You were saying you're more used to dealing with problems for the birds and the bees.
Well, this is the truth, because that's where I cut my teeth. But, you know, people are animals too, in the biological and zoological sense.
Some of these
sense.
Are very crafty animals. I don't know if the kind of animals you're dealing with will be quite as up to the same tricks as these people.
Well, bring it on.
It's a few beauties for you this week.
Yes,
may I say.
Beauties.
We shall get stuck in straight away. This is from a listener who says, I broke up with my ex about 4 months ago and she's being unbelievably petty. I'm doing my best to be the bigger person and not let her get to me, but she's really pushing my buttons. My ex is still in the flat that we rented. Her friend has taken over my half of the bills, so no one is financially worse off, but my ex won't allow me to take any of the things that we bought together. All I want are a couple of pieces of furniture, some bed linen, and the TV I brought into the relationship. There are also a number of personal CDs, records and books that I would like to get back to. She just literally won't let me into the flat. She doesn't answer my phone calls. Her friends won't help me. I'm nearly out of options, bar breaking down the door. We didn't have a great breakup. We argued a lot, intentionally hurt each other, and we're just terrible together. It was never going to last. And to top it off, I've met someone new, which she really isn't happy about. Friends have been telling me to just walk away, but why should I? My stuff is my stuff. How do I deal with this level of unreasonable? Declan, what you
God, she
that?
Was lucky to get rid of him.
Really?
Yeah.
You're straight in, not giving him the chance to break the ladder break.
Well, okay, but
no,
you know.
His thing, yeah. His poor thing's in the flat, Aina.
Not me, the lad here.
No, I was just saying, you know, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. This is what he's maintaining. I've met someone new. He broke up with her 4 months ago. He actually managed, he rented the flat, probably signed a lease and all the rest of it. He's not been got for the rent. He's not been got for all of these things that he's told to. He's after escaping that. And now he's whinging about a few bits of sheets and tablecloths and furniture. And you get all that free on Dublin City website, because the Dublin City Council have a website with free furniture. In fact, he'd probably see his furniture on that if he went and looked.
Oh.
What is he like?
She has his number. You have this guy.
And his new girlfriend, she hears him dump him as well. Who wants a fella that's saying, oh, where's my this and where's my that and you kept this? And he's trying to barge into the place as well. She's dead right not to let him in. Guy sounds desperate.
You sound like you think the new girlfriend should get rid of him as well.
Well, he's an awful wind. If he's going to be like that with the last girlfriend, tigers don't change their stripes. What do you think, Declan?
The collateral damage of a relationship, though, isn't it? It's that thing of like, the relationship is done and wanting to segue seamlessly into like the ever after and the next stage without any consequences. A bit, he's deluded at the kindest, and maybe you're right, maybe he's a bit of a whinger, because I can't see how he's going to get the scenario to be the way he wants it to be. It's not going to happen. Yeah. I don't know how or why they broke up. He's being very loose about the way he describes.
I broke up with my ex.
Yeah. I broke up with my ex, but it was a very...
Probably wasn't there look at the television because it wasn't her turn. Actually, if he wants to be a real dick, what he can do is take her to the small claims court.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing?
Oh, yes, there is. Yeah, of course, yeah. And that's what people can do themselves. You don't have to engage a solicitor.
Right.
But if he does that, he is going to have proof of get proof of ownership of all the stuff he's saying is his. I mean, doesn't she really think that she's going to open the door and say, come in and take whatever you want after that? And, you know...
Well, why shouldn't she give it back to him? That's his stuff. It's his couch. You know, is there a couchman piece of furniture?
No, television's probably a date.
Personal CDs and books. Yeah. Records.
He gets those in Vincent DePaul any day of the week. They're coming out down in spades.
She could have cut up his clothes and thrown them out the window. I mean, you know, when you're having a relationship...
She's probably threw them out already. He's probably
it breaks up. Stuff happens. You're going to lose something, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think the two you're taking his stuff very lightly. You
get
know, there could
over
be
it.
CDs, could be albums there that have great sentimental value to him. The bed linen.
Well, I mean, presumably he got his clothes.
That's a bit weird.
So
no,
if he got his clothes, why didn't he take all when he was at it? He should have.
When I first read this, I thought, if you're going to break up with somebody and you're going to move out, you're automatically making a decision that this is something big. I'm moving out of our shared accommodation. Take what you want then, because you're not going to get it back later. You know, it's just stupid to think you come back later and pick up bits.
Well, you know what to do when you break up with the next girlfriend.
It depends how big a relationship you have. You know, I mean, is it not just a normal everyday part of civilization that when two people are breaking up, they have those things that you see in movies where they sit down with a box each and they go, "That was mine," if I remember correctly.
Life is not like the movies, Tom.
Yeah. Well, actually, it is like the movies. If you watch any of these rom-coms where they have to sit down in arbitration with two lawyers and they're screaming over CDs and whatever. It is like that. That's why we have divorce lawyers. That's why we have small claims courts.
You spend your life getting advice.
People are petty. Look at Taylor Swift. People are petty.
Yeah. I get over it, move on.
I'm with this person. Just ring the guards. If you have the receipts, they will get your stuff back.
No, the small claims court.
Get the guards involved.
Yeah, don't get the guards involved.
He should just put this down to experiences. Probably won't see those things again. I wondered, do you leave out the bit about the breakup because perhaps he cheated on his ex with his current girlfriend? There's definitely something going on here. No woman is that unreasonable. In all fairness now.
I know.
He said, I'd love to hear our side of the story. We only hear his. This
we'll
is what he says.
We'll ring her.
Yeah, let's call her back. Here's her email.
Yes. We'll try and get her on. 52106 if you want to give us further advice. This we'll go on to this one. See how you make out with this one. My girlfriend is super lazy. She won't even lift her arse off the couch to find the remote control. That's how lazy she is. She expects me to do absolutely everything around the house and I'm being driven demented by her. We moved in together a couple of months ago, but it's not going well. She won't cook. She refuses to clean. I don't even think she knows where the bins are in the apartment complex, but let alone offer to take them out. I have a sneaking suspicion that her mother comes around to do her washing when I'm at football on a Saturday, because the rest of the week all I see are piles around the bedroom. I've talked to her about pulling her weight around the house a bit more, and she's always turned on the waterworks, saying she's trying her best. It's the first time that both of us have lived out of our parents' house. But I come from a large family where if you didn't do your chores, you didn't eat, kind of thing. Whereas she's an only child who has lived the life of a pampered princess all her life. I don't want her to win Housewife of the Year or anything. I would just like for her to take her share of the basics of running a household. Things don't improve. I think I might take up an offer of moving in with a mate who knows how to hoover.
That's right. It's the mammies of Ireland that are to blame. That's it. Her mammy reared her like a princess. And his mammy said if he didn't do his chores, he didn't eat. Charming. But you know something? You're not moving out with your mammy. You're moving out with your girlfriend, somebody you love, and you're moving out because you want to have a love life with them. You know, there's a 1930s still around when the girlfriend has to be doing the cooking and the cleaning and all the rest of it. And, you know, the world won't end if the place isn't hoovered every day. This fella should lighten up, and he should lighten up smart. He has the poor girl bawling every single night when he talks about this. Her mammy has to come over of a Saturday.
To do the cleaning, though.
Well, she does to do the washing, to wash the clothes. Because
I'd say she takes away black plastic bags of the dirty clothes and drops back clean ones.
No, well, look, this is all very simple. They moved in together for the first time.
Yeah.
So you have to negotiate a new thing. You land in your family. I mean, if you could negotiate where you lived with your family, you probably would too, but your stock mammy's in charge. But now you're here, you're off with the new girlfriend. Did they ever hear of a laundry basket? That instead of firing the clothes all round the room in a heap, you could put it into a laundry basket. I mean, this is the first time they've been living away from home together.
Yeah.
You need to negotiate how to do it. He should take her out for a dinner. Not at home, because he'll only end up bullying her. She'd be bawling again. Out in public where they can't actually fight with each other in public. And and go through what is expected, who is meant to cook. Why are they going to the bins every minute anyway? They're probably bringing in home things that are ready meals and wrapped up and packaged and, you know, cook. Who's going to cook? Who's going to clean? How often does
do you have a list like that in your house? Is there a rota? Is there allocated chores and responsibilities in your house? People don't really do that though, do they?
Obviously,
in most people's houses, what they do is you try to get away with doing as little as possible, in order to maintain the peace. That's what people do. They go, I'm not going to do the bins, you do the bins. I'm not going to cook the dinner, you cook the dinner. I'm not going to cook the bathroom, you're going to clean the bathroom. You're going to clean, okay, we're having a fight about this, okay, I'll clean the bathroom. That's how people do it. This woman is actually not lazy. Lazy is a stupid word anyway. It's like a word people make up because you don't do what that you want, that they want you to do. She is a delegation genius. She's getting everybody else to do everything for her, and I'm on her side. I hate the idea of people calling her like a privileged princess, calling her like, I don't want her to be a housewife of the year. That's all really loaded kind of sexist language anyway.
Why did he move in with her only to have a sex life?
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to move in with a man who knows how to hoover. I'd be worried about
him.
Well,
obviously the sex life isn't balancing
out. Or he's with him as a man, but either of it's fine, but you know, make up your mind.
Maybe they could just get a cleaner who was a man.
You can get a cleaner.
You wouldn't just say that, you know, that they're just not used, that there should be maybe an intermediate kind of hostel set up where children can go and learn how to, you know, slowly, you know, to boil water.
Don't be ridiculous.
Clean up
you're
after yourself.
Bad, the period. This is the mammy's fault. The mammy didn't rear him properly to go and live with somebody else. Because nobody wants their son to go off and live with another woman in sin, for goodness sake.
Well, my mum was full-time working when I was a child, so it wasn't my mum's responsibility to teach me how to turn on the kettle and to make toast and whatever else. But when I did move into my first house, I was a bit like, oh, I'm out at sea here. I don't know what to do. And I probably wasn't the best flatmate for the people I was sharing with. That's the reason why if you ever go to a student accommodation, the places are tips, because kids are just kind of trying to get their bearings about how to do it. Some people are really good, they're about it. Some people are awful and they never actually acquire those skills. And sometimes they have to be taught. You have to kind of lead people. It's like reinforcement. Skinner was the psychologist from the 20th century who used to do these kind of animal things, like he'd, you know, with the pigeons and the dogs,
the
and kind of make them kind of reinforce learning. Don't do this, do that, whatever. Using those kind of techniques on the people that you live with is the easiest way to kind of get somebody to live the way that you want them to do it.
Passive aggressive, doesn't it? Because people are living together. I mean, what they need to do is say, this is the house, here we are, we neither of us have mammy anymore. Yeah. What do you not like? Throw me clothes around the room. Okay, that's what laundry baskets were invented for. So,
that's just
clothes
the beginning,
put them in the laundry basket.
That's one thing. It sounds like every single life skill you're supposed to have, she doesn't have.
Cooking. She can't cook.
Do you want? Yeah, but who can cook? Cooking is like reading. If you can read, you can cook, if you want to.
I don't know about that.
If you don't like food and you don't care, well then nobody can cook. But if you can read and you can follow instructions, you can cook. You don't have to be Kevin Thornton on the first day.
Do you think this is about entitlement though? Do you think that this girl feels kind of old?
No, this fella feels entitled. She won't get up off her ass and cook
to live with an adult.
Well, this is it.
Slightly.
Well,
he knows how to clean
a
room or find the remote control.
I'm meeting in public where she can't be crying.
Yeah.
And he can't be bullying her because he has been passive aggressive on this and list down the things that we need to do when we live together. And she's probably, you know, if he says, well, listen, you know, hoover every day. Well, why every day? The world won't end. Or if that can't be done, somebody in to clean the bathroom, somebody in if you can afford it. Or indeed, if he gets really bad. And then he goes off every Saturday and leaves her alone. He makes her cry every night in the
sofa.
And then he's off gone every Saturday and leaves her there on her own.
I'd say
get the name of the man with the hoover and open the door and say, off you go, sunshine, and start again.
So we're two problems in, and I can say the women have won in both of them so far, regardless of their behaviour. Dump her. She'll never learn by the sounds of it. Find yourself a proper woman.
I didn't say that.
No, this is one of our listeners, Phil and Cork, saying dump her. Why not do the chores together and learn how to do things properly? Do cooking classes. This is a great opportunity for bonding, and he's just giving out.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's what I meant about. That's when I went in that little segue talking about like positive reinforcement and pigeons and all that kind of stuff. I know it was crazy, but what I was meaning was that when you're living with somebody, you don't just go, oh, here's a list of your jobs and I'm off out to do my jobs, because that just makes living with somebody a big chore. And it should be fun. First and foremost, like you've said already, you move in with somebody to have a romantic relationship, not to set up a domestic cleaning company.
Absolutely, indeed, yeah.
Good luck with that. Moving straight along.
Yeah.
This is a dark one. My school is having a 30-year reunion party and the love of my life is going to be attending. We were an item for 6 months and I was devastated when he finished with me. I married myself, but my feelings for him never went away. If I'm honest, he was the one. My husband knows the reunion is on and is all geared up to go. The thing is, I don't want him to go. I want to go on my own and see my old flame by myself. Is that wrong? I could never tell my husband the reason, so I'm thinking of lying to him to go. I have butterflies even thinking about this man and hearing his voice again. Am I mad for even thinking of doing this?
You are completely stone crackers. The fellow will be 30 years older, he'll be balder, he'll be fatter, he'll have a big belly, as most of the country obese. He probably won't have any hair, and if he has, it's grey, and she's probably no great shakes herself 30 years later, and he's probably married and have his wife with him. She is bonkers to think that she can go back 30 years and he dumped her in the first instance. You know, remember the poem? Was it a song? Where it was 24 years waiting for a chance living next door to Alice.
Yeah,
well, this is 30 years waiting for a chance. If that fella wanted her back, he would have moved in 30 years. Forget it. Bring the husband. They'd be glad you have a fella that you can bring and show off
Alice.
How well you did.
Yeah.
Oh, you wouldn't remember. You were
living next door to Alice.
Alice, who the
You're
fuck is
You're going to ask it, aren't you?
I'm going to leave that one at the slide. Yeah, there's something a bit tragic about this. I mean, there's something kind of like Madame Bovary about this situation, about somebody who's kind of living 30 years of a life where the whole time through there's this whole other existence, the could-have-beens, the would-have-beens, the maybes.
Yeah.
That's pathetic. That's really awful, and I feel really bad for this woman because she needs to actually go and talk to somebody about this because... you know, whatever. We all have this person we met when we were children who we thought were, you know, were the bee's knees and we fell in love with them desperately and then our lives brought us in different directions and every now and again you think of them fondly. But to think that there's a kind of a chance for that reunion or whatever is just, it's actually more indicative of the state of her own current life than it is about...
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's think, what outcome does she want? And how likely is this to happen?
She's not bringing her husband because she thinks she's going to go there and he's going to look at her doe-eyed. The two of them will sneak off into the Jacks and have an ale snog and it'll be all like 1984 all over again and...
And then she'll go back to her dull old husband.
Yeah, exactly.
But she won't, I mean, more than likely. I mean, what kind of a husband wants to go to a 30-year-old school reunion in the first instance?
Anyone.
But I mean, then they must have been at a mixed school because he's a man and she's a woman and they're at the same school, which
very
is interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, 30 years ago it was.
You needn't be
so sniggery at all. It was very progressive 30 years ago.
I think it's New Park.
And if the man is married himself, is his wife going to be allowing all of this? Mind you, Finchie had a great solution to this.
What was that?
Oh, she had wrote, no, not me of herself personally, but she wrote a short story about this. And it was that you don't tell lies. Telling lies is completely out of the question. You tell lies to people you're afraid of. She shouldn't tell her husband lies. But Maeve Binchy had this situation whereby her husband, she knew, was going off to have an affair with somebody, and she fed him something that disagreed with him, so that as a consequence he had the runs and the affair was terrible. So what your woman needs to do is feed your man a dodgy sausage the night before and then he can't come, rather than anything else, if she really wants to go ahead with this.
But I was passive aggressive with my advice.
Maybe he's a vegetarian, would you blame him? But the last date of her is going to be worse than the first. Let her keep it in her head.
Life
is not a Mills and Boom.
But it's, doesn't it, you know, I'm sure all of us have had moments in our lives when you saw somebody else and a little bit on some level you wonder how life would have gone with them. But doesn't that just go in a normal everyday life, those thoughts just go away and you're happy with the life you have?
The reunion invitation comes through the door and then suddenly her headspace goes back to 1980s and that time, and she's comparing what her life could have been to what it is now, and maybe things aren't as kind of, you know, as exciting or as thrilling as life felt like it could have been back then. Fine, but that's all normal. It's normal.
But she's still
seeing
him at the Oak anyway, because I mean, presumably, unless he becomes invisible, he'll be there, and she can come along and introduce her husband to him, and sure, they can see whether.
I think that somehow she doesn't want to introduce the man who could have been to the man that is, because somehow she feels that there's a.
But so the man who is doesn't know about the man that could have been, and she keeps her mouth shut.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he does. Maybe he this is the lad you married after all.
Yeah.
She feels like he's getting judged, and maybe, I don't know.
She doesn't want her husband judged.
She needs to think about her marriage.
It's all a bit.
Don't do it. Take my advice, woman. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. We all at least agreed on that.
I think the reunion party is a red herring in the whole situation. I think that she just needs to look at what her actual feelings are about her life, and if she's really unhappy and really sad.
Oh God, here's a text.
Just don't do it.
Throw petrol on the fire. I have been reunited with the love of my life after 25 years. We both married other people in the meantime. We were always in love with one another. I found my true love after 25 years. I couldn't be happier.
Wow.
Well, that's good for her. That's what I'm saying. That's the kind of carry on that makes everyone think they can do it.
Is that from Prince Charles?
It just says HRC or something like that.
Yeah, Prince Charles and Camilla. Yeah. Together again.
It's an English last. It's an English number, isn't it?
Yeah. That's probably who it is, all right. God, isn't it great he's listening to the radio?
Yeah, isn't it great, yeah. I don't know. That's after confusing me now, because now I'm thinking if she's that unhappy in her marriage.
No, that's what I said. I said the actual reunion party is a bit of a red herring. It's about how she feels about her actual real existing life, to compare that against the idea of this notional guy who she hasn't been in touch with in 30 years. I mean, it's like
25. It seems now after that text, I'm thinking that if her current life is so flimsy that it could be, you know, thrown to the wind.
She never says that at all. This just notion came up and she said, God, I fancied him no end. I wonder what he's like now.
Well, she's making plans not to bring her husband and has butterflies thinking about it. It sounds like there's a lot going on there.
Paper never refused it.
No. In fairness, I agree with you. Right, says one of her texters, I agree with your agony aunt about Irish mammies. My boyfriend came to me without being able to boil an egg. It was ridiculous. I had to lay down the law and threw a home economics book in his direction. That's normally boys, but this is a woman in the same situation. This is different.
Women's lib at last.
This is a different situation now. A texter says, I'm pretty sure the house two doors down from me are running a brothel. We live on a terraced row, and a couple of months ago I noticed that new neighbours had moved in. First it seemed like it was a couple, then we stopped seeing the guy altogether, and I would notice the difference between girls going in and out of the house on a regular basis. Then the guy who moved the furniture in would come back every now and again and never stay for too long. I know I sound like an awful curtain twitcher, but we then started noticing the traffic of men coming up at all times of day and night. They never rang the doorbell, they just walked straight at the door, seems to be off the latch. They leave again within the hour, so it doesn't take a genius to figure out what's going on. I feel like I have a moral obligation to do something about this, but I don't want to bring the wrath of dodgy pimps who might know it's us that reported them. What would you do if you were me?
I would reel your neck back in there, Hyacinth, because, you know, you're getting involved in a situation where you're just you're taking little scraps of evidence and you're creating this big, dark drama that may or may not be true. And incidentally, if they are running a brothel, I mean, fair play to them if they're getting away with it for so long. It's not your responsibility to kind of shut it down. It's not your job. If it's affecting you in minor ways, like if there is noise issues, if there's damage being done to your property or whatever small incidences on a piece by piece basis, by all means handle those individually. But, you know, ringing up the guards and saying, I think somebody is running a brothel next door is just, it's a bit far fetched.
You'd agree with what has happened in Britain when this situation arose.
What was that?
People next door put up a big banner and had a street party and said, welcome to the brothel. And everybody said, you know, wonderful, congratulations on your entrepreneurial skills, making money from your house, and please come, the party is at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. I tell you one thing, there wasn't a client in the place after that, because the brothel wasn't actually a secret anymore, because it was very obvious. So if this woman is
that
sure...
That actually happened in
South East England, yeah. But because my daughter told me, because I was asking her, and she said, yeah, that's what they should do, put up a sign saying free coffee here for brothel users, and that'll put a halt to their gallop. But you know, she must think the guards are awful idiots. I mean, I could go to the guards tomorrow and say, Tom Dunn is running a brothel next door, and then the guards come along and burst into your house without even checking him, Anthony, and say, Ian Lennon said there's a brothel there. I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, if she does tell the guards are well used to being informed about things. Yeah. They're going to make their own observations. They're not going to rush in the door at once, and they're certainly not going to say, the woman two doors up the road told her this. I mean, it's very serious if there's a brothel. Women in a brothel are treated appallingly, and many of those women, I'm sure, are not there voluntarily. There's a charity called Ruhama, or UHAMA.ie, and you can go online, and the people that have rung in now, they can go online and look at this. And if they don't want to go to the guards, they can certainly go to Ruhama, and they'll advise them how to get people out of prostitution. Prostitution is an awful way to end up, and many women are stuck with that.
They've changed the laws in Ireland, you know, recently about that whole situation. And I think that you're legally allowed to be a sex worker, but you're not actually allowed to convene in brothels and stuff like that. So, I mean, if there is actual proof of that activity happening in a group, it is.
Mind you, they don't give. I mean, these are not scientific inquiries. I mean, I'd like to know, first of all, who's writing in. Is it a couple? Is it a man? Is it a the woman is a two-piece.
Well, they're afraid of the dodgy pimps.
No. But it means, therefore, maybe they could get a boyfriend or a girlfriend who's a guard. And then as they're coming and going to visit them, they'd observe these things for themselves. Are they renting the place? In the which event, it's not their business, but it's their landlord's business. And they paid money to live in a house that was not next door to a brothel. And now it is. So the value of their property has gone down. They get on to the landlord about it. Or maybe...
Would you like a brothel on your street?
Maybe it is. And then they tell the residents association.
You saw them using the shop there.
You know, to be honest with you, all clutching of pearls aside, I mean, having a brothel down the road may or may not be a good or bad thing, depending on what kind of neighbourhood you're in. If you've got loads of kids living around there, you don't want that kind of thing there. But if you're living on a street where, you know, you're worried about being mugged, having a lot of passing trade might be actually...
I lived in Waterloo Road when I was in the flat long ago, and Waterloo Road was the centre of the red light district. And cars cruised up and down, and ladies were on the street in those days. They weren't even in houses, and it was perfectly safe for people who weren't prostitutes.
That's what I was being facetious, but at the same time, I was making a point.
But I mean,
if
she actually is a member of, if she actually lives there, and she has a house and owns the place, well, then get on to the Residents Association. They'll soon send them packing.
Yeah, move. Report this to the guard. These only solutions is one texter. Mm-hmm. And that's just that's just a nosy neighbour with his or her moral duty. Old-fashioned Ireland still alive. And that's a good point. I'll bet you the woman in the brothel can cook and clean, says John.
I'd say
sounds very fearful of that kind of love-hate view of the dodgy pimps knocking on all the doors saying
you know,
that,
and
you
that's know. All I mean, I think that, not that I have much experience with the sex industry in Ireland, but I would imagine that that's a little bit kind of melodramatic.
Yeah,
and I would say
so.
It's more likely to be, you know, you'd be surprised as to who's making a few 50 quids here and there.
Discreet call.
Yeah.
Final one for us, so we only have a minute for us, let's see if we can get through it. My girlfriend's become very fond of point scoring, and it's really affecting our relationship. Whenever we have a disagreement, it turns into a huge argument because she stores up every little thing I've ever done wrong and fires them at me all at once. It's so frustrating, and all I can do is sit there and take it. I really do love her, but I don't understand why she's sabotaging our relationship like this. I feel like any tiny mistake I make is going to come back at me tenfold. It's getting me down.
Dump her. This is one of two very serious things.
Yeah.
First of all, it says my girlfriend has become very fond of point scoring.
Yeah.
She wasn't before and she is now, so she's getting fed up of him. So therefore, if she's getting fed up of him, get in first and dump her. Or else, what has happened is the first flush of love has worn off and she's reverting to her natural form, and she's actually...
The glimmer has come off her.
Yeah, the glimmer, exactly. And she's there, she's remembering every tiny thing, and the poor man has to do is sit there and take it. Well, he doesn't have to sit there and take it. You know, I mean, I look down, this is abusive behaviour. This is appalling. He doesn't have to sit there and take it. Now, he can point out to her that, you know, what does he want, what does she want him to do? Because if she already said 10 times, you did this, you know, well, he can't undo what he did. So, like, either move forward, but I'd dump her because that's only going to get worse.
Ada, thanks very much for that. I'm afraid we're beaten by the clock, so I have to give you your reply in yes or no, dumping.
I'll do it in writing. There's something going on underneath, deep, deep down, that she's not actually saying.
All right.
Yeah.
And dump him. You would have to say that. Ada, thank you very much for that. Wonderful talking to you today. And Declan, as always, coming up, we're going to be talking about scutting. Well, Henry McCain's about scutting alive.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
Well, it seems.